When Reet Shumack moved to Detroit's Brightmoor neighborhood in 2006, she found herself surrounded by blight, drug crime, prostitution, and illegal dumping. So she signed up for every meeting, every committee there was, to try and make the neighborhood a better place to live.
And after close to a year, I quit going because what I found, it's the same people going from meeting to meeting, talking about what should happen and what might happen if we had money.
Brightmoor has never been a neighborhood with a lot of money. It was developed with low-quality housing stock for working-class residents, and home ownership has been low since the auto workers who once lived here followed the car companies out of the city after World War II. And there's a lot of emptiness. Shumack says the neighborhood is about 70% vacant. She says at the meetings she attended, people seem to be waiting for someone, the city, churches, some outside organization, to swoop in and fix Brightmoor's problems.
Our children cannot wait for the city to get their act together. If we as citizens don't do it, our children, we have a whole generation of kids, another generation of kids that is lost, and I will not stand for that.
So Shumack looked around, and she saw lots of kids in danger of dropping out of school or landing with the wrong crowd. So she figured she could put those kids to work, turning weed-choked lots into parks and gardens.
Because that's what we have here. Our resources in this neighborhood are green space and kids.
Shumack clips the last of the season's harvest from one of the neighborhood's vegetable gardens.
I hope these all sell. There's plenty of them. We should have some nice big eggplants.
But mostly it's the kids who do the work. They sell what they grow at farmers markets in the city. And she says of the kids who started with her that first year in 2007, all are still in school and getting ready to graduate. And they've been busy. 4 years after they started, there are now 32 pocket parks and gardens in this 21-block corner of Detroit.
This is Curtis Green Park. This is where we have our parties. It used to be 5 lots. There was a house here, too, that got taken down last year.
An outdoor stage is carved out of the shell of yet another abandoned house right next to the park. Shumack says any project that gets the green light has to be an idea that comes from a neighbor. So there's a butterfly garden that one resident especially wanted, and an edible playscape built for Gwen Shivers. Well, not for Gwen exactly, but for the kids she takes care of at the daycare she runs out of her home.
What you gonna make today? Brian, what is that?
It's a rainbow.
It's a rainbow?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Shiver says the neighborhood wasn't a bad place to live when she moved here in 1974. But then, about a decade later, came something so efficient in its destruction that no single metaphor quite captures its power. It was like a disease or a tornado or an army of ruthless mercenaries. Crack cocaine had come to Brightmoor.
And they just tore down the neighborhood, and we started the fires to burn out houses, and then it went to the vacant houses, then the drug raids, and the war on the prostitutes. Watched many, many lives get killed, and found bodies all over this neighborhood.
So for years, Shiver says, people shrank back behind their locked doors, afraid of what might happen if they spoke up or got involved.
Well, then one day, we woke up and said, enough is enough.
It has not been an overnight transformation. Shivers and Shumack say it's hard work and slow. But neighbor by neighbor, block by block, they're making Brightmoor not just livable, but a place where there's beauty and community. Once a month, neighbors get together for a potluck dinner and a neighborhood meeting.
Okay, if I could have everyone's attention, please. We're going to get started.
About 2 dozen neighbors finish up their lentil soup and collard greens under fluorescent lights. There's talk about starting a CB radio patrol. There's an update about a neighborhood tree planting and a discussion about what to do about the problem of houses getting stripped of their plumbing and siding. This is the first meeting Deborah and Robert Watson have attended. They moved to Brightmoor after losing their big house with a big mortgage in a tonier neighborhood earlier this year. But they say they're happy to have landed here.
It's more so like the South, I think, because people, when they pass by, everybody speaks.
This is my wife. You live in a more sophisticated neighborhood
nobody speaks. You don't even know half your neighbors, you know. But in this neighborhood, I find that if you are friendly with people, they're actually friendly with you. And your neighborhood is what you make it. It's not where you live, it's how you live.
The Watsons aren't the only people to tell me there is a bright side to living in a poor neighborhood. Small houses cost less to heat. Some people, like the Watsons, own their homes outright. There are guys who are out of work, but are happy to fill their jobless days, helping out their neighbors with home repairs or other work. And people here say their neighborhood is better prepared than their richer counterparts to deal with something like a sudden spike in the cost of oil or groceries. We know how to grow our own food, Reet Shumack says. We know how to hustle. In Detroit, I'm Sarah Hewlett, Michigan Radio News.